Get ready for Triple M's Rush Hour. Andrew John.
Beautiful to Darwin. Bang! Another nail.
Bernie Vince.
Vince, known goal kicker, brings the house down.
And Greg Blewett.
There it is. A magnificent performance from young Greg Blewett.
Adelaide's Ultimate Sports Show. On every afternoon, Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
G'day everyone, welcome to the Rush Hour this Wednesday in Adelaide. What a beautiful day. What a stunning weather,
it
really is.
It actually is.
23 on Sunday it's going to be,
really?
So enjoy it while it lasts.
Shorts weather.
Very good afternoon to Bradley Ebert, who again is filling in for Andrew Jarman.
Yes.
And do you know who you actually are? Today.
Yes, today I yes. do. Yes. Well, do I? I don't know.
I'm
sometimes
not sure.
I feel like Jars. Sometimes. No, I don't ever feel like Jars, let's be honest.
G'day,
no,
Boone.
Hello,
anyway.
Blue. G'day. Good to see you back, Ebo. It's becoming a real concern, this Jarman thing. I thought it was going to be a day, and then, well, it's going to be a week now. Is it going to be a month?
I've trapped him in my cellar.
Yeah, you can't the word. Actually, performed quite well yesterday, Ebo. I liked it.
Would say. Now, three votes.
Yes, very good. Now, I heard Jars on the phone to you about 10 minutes ago,
yes.
And it sounded like there was nothing wrong with him.
Well,
what's going on?
I was expecting a croaky voice, nothing. He wouldn't be able to even get up and press the button to answer the phone, to be honest. And I put him on loudspeaker. We're going into a meeting, and all he did is pot everyone, sounded fine, and he hung up on us. So I think it was when Matty started yes. talking to him about when he's going to come back. All we heard was beep, beep.
He always
beep.
Hangs up on the boss, though, so that's fine.
Nah, he's, he seems in good spirits. I don't know. Maybe he's taking the piss, Blue.
Oh, yeah.
Big news out of Adelaide, though. Matty Crouch. He's going in for his second lot of surgery, and Adam Kelly spoke about it yesterday.
We'll wait to see what the surgeon's view is following the surgery itself before we try and determine any return to play dates. So that'll be part of our ongoing assessment.
Is that season?
You'd have to be getting close, wouldn't
It'd
you?
It'd have to like, be.
Depends normally, what they find, I gather.
Yeah, normally with groin surgeries, it's a good 8 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I haven't had groin surgery.
Yeah, if you're getting up quicker than 3 to 4, like you're doing pretty well. So, yeah, I don't know.
And then is there any point in rushing him back for the last few games? Like everyone wants to play and work back to play, but maybe it's just queuing the rack for this year, which is disappointing for him. It'd be so frustrating because he nearly got back a few times. He's been out training, running, and then it just flares up just as he sounds like he's just about to play. It flares up again. So I don't know. I've been pretty lucky with groins.
It reminds me of Brad Crouch about 3 years ago, who was having all sorts of groin issues.
Yeah.
And they kept trying to get him right, And then he eventually went under the knife and then he hasn't looked back since.
Yep.
How long was he out for there? Do you know? I can't even remember.
That went, I think, over a couple of seasons.
Yeah,
like it just kept coming up.
He missed a whole season, I reckon, 1 year. But anyway.
Speaking of overworking a groin, Greg Blewett, you're going to be getting to the bottom of a sandpaper gate very soon.
Yes, we are. I think officially we're going to put it to bed.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
But we're going to talk about that because the Australian fast bowlers and Nathan Lyon got a bit, they got annoyed, I reckon, that it's been brought up again. So they've released a statement, but we'll touch on that.
Why, when Haydo mentioned groin, did you straight away say, let's go to bed?
I locked the date in as well. The Ashes series is on this summer. It's going to be a massive summer. December the 16th is the second test match here
in Adelaide.
Yes.
Day-nighter, is it?
Day-nighter.
Oh, yes.
Have you boys...
Certainly
you
be keeping up my SACA membership for that.
Do you normally go to the cricket here in Adelaide?
Normally. Yeah, well, this year certainly more than most, I guess. Ashes, first year out of footy, definitely. But yeah, normally I'm there and at least for a day. It's
well,
be fun.
If you're not there, just be watching Channel 7 live and free.
Oh,
all right. Tremendous commentary.
I normally go, but then Bluey promised us tickets and just never provided.
I was going to say, I'm normally sitting out the back watching Channel 7 anyway.
Oh,
just out in the back there.
I can't get in.
You and Jars
were asking
for free tickets in a COVID.
I just wanted a ticket.
In a COVID season.
I was happy to buy them. We couldn't buy them. It was a sellout. And Bluey goes, oh, well, I'll see what I can do. He said that for 3 months and then it came to the day, didn't answer. This was him.
We've got Jay Clark coming up on the show.
I don't care if Jay Clark's coming on. What about tickets this year? I'm giving you, how many months away is that? 6 months?
How many do you want?
Packed house.
Just one for me, one for Jars, one for Ebo now.
Yep. Oh, now Ebo's...
Well, I'm a member anyway.
He's a member, all right, too.
I'll see what I can do.
And I'll see if my family wants to go too.
Timmy needs to be there.
The Rush Hour with Bernie and Jazz presents AFL Newsbreaker.
What up, JC?
Jay Clark.
Hey, Jay-Z, welcome to the Rush Hour on this Wednesday afternoon. Now, let's get straight into Collingwood, mate. What's going on in their boardroom right now? There's a bit happening, I understand.
Oh, it's hugely messy. I mean, we talk about Collingwood as being the biggest club in the country, and right now, at the very top of this organisation, it is all-out combat. So what we know is that Jeff Brown, former boss of Channel 9, is ready, has assembled his team. He is ready to make a serious tilt at the Collingwood presidency. Now, Mark Corder has been on radio this morning. He is the president as it stands. He's basically dumped Alex Wasliff off his board and brought in a new board member in Bridie O'Donnell. That's been the news over the past 24 hours. So he feels like he's got his team set. And then this morning, he has basically warned off Jeff Brown from trying to spill the board at an EGM. Now, that would be hugely messy for a Collingwood club which doesn't know its top from its bottom at the moment. So Jeff Brown is playing this very smartly behind the scenes. He hasn't come out publicly just yet, but what we know is that behind the scenes there is a full-on battle looming, which would be really significant. Now, Eddie Maguire has still got a role to play in this. He was the former president, obviously. Now, he was tipped out by the current board, and he is best mates with Jeff Brown. So you know which horse he is backing in this race, and he still holds a lot of power in that, Eddie Maguire. Now, with this significant uncertainty at board level, riddle me this, boys. How could the current board currently make, or the football club as it stands at the moment, make a key decision on Nathan Buckley's future when there could be a new president in 4 months' time who has a different view?
Yeah, well, it's all over the shop. How do you make that decision? The big thing is about this weekend playing against Port Adelaide. Yep. Does it affect the players?
I reckon they're sitting ducks, Bernie, to be honest. I mean, this is a team. I didn't check up the numbers for back half turnovers last week in that loss to Sydney, but I reckon it had to be close to a record.
1,000.
The amount of times they butchered the footy, and it has been a consistent theme for Collingwood all season. I reckon they're really struggling at the moment with a lack of clarity and certainty around their brand. Boys, tell me, what is Collingwood's on-field brand at the moment? How do you think they want to play?
That's a good question.
Well, they play different every week, which is probably a reflection of what you just spoke about. They actually started really well on the weekend and then just looked all at sea for two quarters, then came with a bit of a late charge in the last quarter. But they look really uncertain, as you said, about, well, their positions and the way they want to actually play. Well, you can't do that when you've got no board and no... Basically, up in the air with no coach.
They need clear direction, don't they?
Yeah,
it's an interesting one.
That group.
I'll be very interested to see how this plays out, mate. Now, Ebo here. Now, we've got change of tack here.
Yep.
Contract news. Who's the player on every Victorian club's lips at the moment?
Well, it might not be quite as big as when you left West Coast, Evo, because I remember going back 10 years ago.
Tell me more.
I remember going back a decade when the Port Adelaide Football Club made a very smart move to poach you from the Eagles. You're sort of into the team, you're out of the team at the moment, you were sort of emerging. And I felt like there was just a lack of faith shown at you in some key times. I think you were dropped to the waffle, and then the manager obviously saw some options, and Port Adelaide were very smart. Now, that was huge news at the time. Oof. I was reporting in Perth, and I'm still coming to grips with the fact that they poached you, and I think some people at West Coast are still filthy about it, and in fact, that is certainly the case. Anyway, Adam Chera is the man who is the name on every Victorian club's recruiting list at the moment. So Fremantle have got a four-year deal, $750,000 a year. Now, that is huge money for a kid who is still sort of, I mean, we think he's a very good player, Adam Chera.
He's finding his way, Jay.
He's not in the top 50 in the competition, is he?
No, it'd be that sort of money. No.
So that is huge money, and he has not signed. Now, history would tell you, if he still hasn't committed to that yet, that he has every in fact, he does have every option under the sun here in Victoria. Now, Carlton, you couldn't rule out Geelong. Richmond, I think, would be sniffing around this one as well. So he's got every club in Victoria keen on him, and I think this is a big watch this space. Now, of course, this is off the back of Patrick Cripps' news. He'll be signing a four-year deal to stay at Carlton, and he has given up some cash, Cripper. This is not a monster deal. They've taken some cream off the cake here, so it's a sacrificial deal from Paddy Cripps. He could have got more back in WA, I suspect, and also Max King, two-year deal at St Kilda, and that will mean that Gold Coast Can forget about trying to get him. We know, we told you last week that the Saints are interested in his brother, Ben.
Can you just repeat that bit about Brad Ebert? He dropped his can of Vass and he's ready now.
He's gone. Tissues everywhere.
Oh, got a bit excited, mate, savvy, anyway.
Hey, Tim savvy English.
Pick up from Port, yep.
Tim English.
There we go, Jay-Z. Thanks, mate.
I've got to cut you off here because we need to actually talk some footy. Tim English got the big knock a few weeks ago. Now he's already missed three. He could miss a fourth, you reckon. And what's Brad Crouch said?
Yeah, no, certainly to play Tim English. He's a very smart man, just still struggling with some small symptoms, and we know that everyone wants to be absolutely cautious. So the big fella, still no certainty to play this weekend, of course. And you mentioned Brad Crouch. Now, he has said something very curious on radio in Melbourne this morning, and that is that possibly players will consider hiding their concussion symptoms if it means not having to serve the 12-day stand-down period. Now, I know Crouchy has a bit of a sore cheekbone and copped a bit of a knock himself, but what is this man thinking? Mm. The tide has turned on concussion. I think players, clubs, medicos all agree that there needs to be absolute transparency and honesty around this, and that is for the player's benefit, because in terms of brain injuries, you know, there is nothing more important. So that's a bit of a silly comment. I think it's been knocked for six already. And the Bulldogs, at the moment, a club which is being a great example of showing absolute caution and care for one of its best young players. And he may miss again, Tim English.
Yeah, well, good stuff, Jay-Z. Thanks for joining us, mate. And we'll speak to you Saturday morning.
Good on you, fellas.
Cheers, mate.
Triple M. The Furious.
It's time for the most groundbreaking quiz to hit the airwaves.
I do not believe it.
Two callers ballot out by answering five questions. One with the most correct wins. It's time for the Furious Five. The Furious Five.
Oh, let's go, Bert. I can't believe we're doing it. I thought with Jars being away, it was a great
good
week
time
maybe
to park it.
Just to drop it. Because
it's a bit disrespectful, like, doing it without him, probably, but Ebo's been demanding
this. I think
this.
Ebo's taking over.
I feel like I've taken his spot throughout the week. I might as well take his spot through his
fight. Good point, actually.
And let's just keep it rolling on.
It's actually ran a lot smoother in the first 20 seconds than it would have been.
Correct.
He hasn't read the rules yet, though. This is normally where Jars... we've got to bring the calls.
Yeah, actually, let's bring the callers in, hey. We've got Con. Con, are you there, mate?
Yes, I'm here, man.
How are you? Now, Con, where are you from?
Marlston.
From Marlston? What's your footy team?
The Crows.
Oh, okay. All right. That's off to a bad start anyway.
Was that his first question?
Now, who else we got here? Keith. Keith, where are you from, mate?
I'm actually from Keith.
No!
Keith from Keith.
Get out of it.
You should be on that advert they did.
Get out of it. What's your footy team, mate?
Port Adelaide.
All right, so you're starting to win me over already. That's good to know. Good to know.
Bit biased.
All right, boys, I'm just going to read out the rules, and then I'm going to throw to the boys to get started. So we've got...
This is where Jars normally falls apart.
No pressure. Yeah, just,
all right, as long as you talk English, you'll pass.
All right, well, if I start calling myself Rocky, though, it might be another story.
Don't confuse yourself.
All right, so this is the rules. You've got to say your name after the question to answer. First to say their name gets the first crack. You get 1 point for a correct answer and a negative for an incorrect answer.
A negative, is it?
Well, that's
you brought your own rules.
Yeah, I thought I might as well
change
it up. Why not? If you're going to stuff it up, you've got to cop that.
Ebo's owning it. I like it.
There are lifelines. You can select myself, Bernie or Bluey, but you only get one. Okay, and you've got to say your name before you ask for the lifeline as well.
Also, if one gets it wrong, does the other one get a go, or is it just minus one?
Yeah, I think so.
This is loose.
Nice. Yeah, let's do that. Let's
just
do that.
Changing the rules.
All right, so
I don't know this is already be listening.
This is already better.
Oh, is it a different version?
Yes,
it is. Well, let's see how it goes.
Okay. Already.
Yeah, I know. Me too. So let's see how we go.
Who would you like to go first?
Bluey, you've got question number one. Boys, listen up.
Oh, all right, here we go. Which Adelaide Crows midfielder has had an injury setback and maybe?
Oh, Con, what do we got?
Clear.
Crouch.
Bang. Bernie, number two.
When you hear the term flat track bullies, who do you think of?
Con.
Toothy.
Oh. Con, that's definitely you, mate. Go for it.
Port Adelaide.
There you go. Con's on fire.
I thought of James Brayshaw straight away.
Oh, like, no.
He just...
What a flat track bully.
The only time he ever made runs was on an absolute flatty.
That'll get back to him.
Jeez, that will too.
I'm not sure.
That will actually get back to him. Any more comments you want to make about him?
I don't know if Port Adelaide are the flat track bullies.
No, they're not.
So maybe I need to give it to Keith.
And well, Keith, is your bloody buzzer working or what?
Yeah, what's going on, Keith?
I got it. I thought I had the last one.
Spit it out, garbage, mate.
Garbage. Louis, let's go. Question three.
All right, let's go. Now, there's some audio here first, guys, so take a listen.
Yeah, it'll be a slow process.
Ebo Rocky here.
Oh, yes! Who do we have co-hosting today? Is it Brad Ebert or Tom Rockliffe?
Keith.
Con.
Hey, Keith. Come on, mate. Give us something.
Ebert.
All right, Bernie, question four. Let's go.
This is a multiple choice. Why is Jars away? A, he's sick. B, he's working at Cheeky Greek paying back his debts. Or C, he's on a couples retreat with Adelaide United coach Carl Beard.
Con.
Oh, Con, what have we got?
We'll go B.
B.
He's working. They're all
working
true.
Working at Cheeky Greek. Yeah, that's true.
Come on.
Well, he's definitely not sick. He's not right.
Hey, Keith, you get a chance at this if you want, mate.
Let's go C.
C? He's on the couples retreat.
Come on.
Give him that one.
It's a tie, boys.
This is a tie. Wow. Who would have thought? We've got it to a tie. All right, question five. Bluey.
All right, listen up, boys. Which Australian batsman threw his teammates under the bus this week?
Hey!
Was it Michael Clark?
Oh!
Well,
he added to it. Are we talking current players?
Which Australian batsman threw his teammates under the bus this week over sandpapergate?
We might have to.
There's a technicality there.
Ben, what do you think?
Hey, punter.
Hang on, Ben's doing something.
Can we accept Michael Clark as the batsman that threw his teammates under the bus?
Jesus Christ! Bunners, nah, what? he can't accept that.
It wasn't him.
Nah, it was Greg Blewett. He said back in '99 when he couldn't make 100, kept making 99.
Let's give Con another chance. That was a bit of an iffy one there. Go on, Con, give us another one.
David Warner.
Oh, geez, Con, you're hurting yourself here, mate.
Was it David Warner? No, it was Greg Blewett.
It was Cameron Bancroft, but I feel like the fact he's given a bit of a crack. Where are we going?
You got to give Keith the crack.
Oh, Keith, what are you going for?
You've just given him the answer.
Hang on, I didn't even get a crack at it.
Yeah, well, go on, Keith. Give us something.
You don't deserve one, Keith.
I don't follow the cricket.
Con, you win.
Thank you.
Con's got it in the bag.
You know we're going to lie, Con.
Keith?
Oh, yeah, what?
This has ended up where it normally ends up. I've got no idea what's going on.
Forgotten all the rules.
God, congratulations, mate. You've got a double pass to the Sandful statewide Super League game this weekend.
Hang on.
Make sure you record that one, mate.
Shit.
Thanks, boys. Well done, Con.
Good on you, lads.
Thank you.
Thanks for nothing, Keith.
Thanks, boys. I don't
like cricket. No, I'm up and about. I love
it. He's not up and about at the moment. He's not here. Down and out.
Now, hopefully this is going to be the end of it, guys, because Cameron Bancroft, as we know, did an interview over in the UK about 3 days ago. And in that interview, pretty much inferred that the bowling cartel, Australia's bowlers, at the time, which was Mitchell Starc, Pat Cummins, Nathan Lyon and Josh Hazlewood, who played that test match in Cape Town, knew that what was going on with the ball, right? So that's upset them. And apparently Cameron Bancroft has reached out to them, so I don't know how those conversations went.
How would that go, Blue? If I'm an angry fast bowler and you got done for ball tampering and you've potted me, what's the first thing you say?
Hey, what's going
Shit
on?
Shit out, actually.
You'd be beating around the bush. You dickhead. You'd be beating around the bush, wouldn't you? Oh, how's it going over in England?
How's the family?
And let's just get to it.
How's talking to Pat Cummins? How's quarantine going? You're back from your IPL.
Awesome, mate.
I don't know. It'd be a bit frosty, but those bowlers have released a statement. Now, some of that says, we pride ourselves on our honesty, so it's been disappointing to see that our integrity has been questioned by some journalists and past players, Michael Clark being one of those. And in recent days, in regard to the Cape Town test for 2018, we have already answered questions many times on this issue. We feel compelled to put the key facts on the record again. So they actually bring up a really good point. Now, they say the umpires during that test match, Nigel Long and Richard Illingworth, both very respected umpires, inspected the ball after the images surfaced on the TV coverage and did not change it because there was no sign of damage. All right. So that sort of goes against what Michael Clark was saying. You know, if there's sandpaper that's been, you know, rubbed into the ball, then surely you would know. But that's sort of what I was saying yesterday, yeah. Bernie. I think it was really early in
the piece.
And he got sprung before he could really sort of damage the ball.
But Bluey, that wouldn't be the first time they got caught the first time they ever did it. Do you think, do you honestly believe that?
Using a foreign object, absolutely.
The first time ever.
Yep.
You reckon?
Yep.
So you're saying no one else has ever done it?
So I disagree with that.
There's been other teams that have done that.
But they've been caught as well.
Yeah, there's been caught like Faf du Plessis, who has been the South African. Yep. He was using the zip on his stride.
Yeah, he got nothing for that. He got a warning, didn't he?
Our Australian cricketers have been thrown over Kyle for the... Yeah,
yeah. So. What did he get? What was his... He got a fine or something like that. Not even a match.
I reckon he's been busted a couple of times.
He's been twice. And he just gets away with it. It was like they murdered someone.
Shahid Afridi got busted chewing the ball. He was just taking some chunks.
That's funny vision. Look that up, Evo.
He just takes
a bite out of the seam.
Oh, no.
He's had the guts for the ball, not doing anything.
But pretty much what happens, Evo, is all teams try and get the ball going reverse if it's not going sort of normally. So once the ball gets a little bit old. And what they do is like they sort of throw it in on the bounce, and they aim for the rough patches on the square.
Yeah, okay.
And then they sort of try and rough it up, and then they work on another side, like try and get the other side going as smooth as possible. So that's what they do, and it's you're actually not meant to be doing that either. Like the law says that you're not meant to be purposely trying to change the natural condition of the ball. So
I find it hard to believe that was the first time this has ever happened. If they're doing it, I find it... When you get caught, it's never the first time you've done something. I feel like a lot of people would have known about it.
Nah, I disagree.
Jeez. What do you think, Ebo?
See, I was sitting there in your boat the other day, and then Bluey absolutely scolded me, and now I've just jumped across
with
him.
Don't be scared. What, you're intimidated by that?
No. Not by this little weasel to my left. Well, Look, spaghetti arms over here.
Arnold Schwarzenegger sitting.
No, that's seriously. When he explained it to me around how there's so many different cliques within the crew and all this sort of jazz, I actually do understand where you're coming from. So yeah, I have jumped across.
So it just magically appeared in this test match and never been seen before.
Yep.
Bullshit,
yep. Blue. So also, I'll just finish off on that, Haydos. Cricket Australia have said they've spoken to Cameron Bancroft. There's no new information, so...
None.
That's it.
He got sucked in, really, in the interview, didn't they? They were leading him down a path.
That's right. I just don't think he handled the interview very well.
He just stuffed up. He didn't really out him.
Don't you love it when you're doing a presser and they just keep asking the same question in 10 different ways?
You've got to stand up.
And eventually you're just like, oh, look...
I'll give you what you want, then you'll shut up.
Well, normally it's just straight bat and they think you're boring, but...
Should be like you footballers and just not answer any questions just say the same thing.
No, I used to answer them all.
Journalists are pros.
You're sitting here now, but you've also been in some trouble.
Journalists know how to get things out of you. Well, that's why Andrew Jarman isn't classified as a journalist.
And Chels, what about the race? Can you see the future in terms of participating in some sort of pre-season program like this?
What? What was that question?
Chels, are you there? MJ, hello.
Great question.
He basically hung up on you. What was that?
All right, boys. Well, time of the week where we get to chat to one of the players and have a bit of an insight into things. Today we've got young Riley Filthorpe.
Yes.
From the Adelaide Crows. Pick number two last year. Played a couple of games now. And
burst onto the scene.
Didn't he just? Yes. What was it, six in his
Five?
Debut?
Five?
Five, yeah. Jeez, that's some kind of debut.
Yeah.
Anyway, mate, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Now, I guess, how's the transition been? I guess we've probably spoken to you earlier in the year, but now you've actually cemented yourself and played a few games. How have you been finding it?
Yeah, it's been really exciting. Obviously, living out most childhood dreams for young boys. So, it's been really exciting and really lucky to get a few games under my belt.
Hey, the bad losses you've had this year, you've lost contested possession and got smacked in the clearances, but you're actually in front in contested possessions and basically pretty even with clearance. That's a positive to take out of the game against the top, well, top six side?
Yeah, there's a lot of promising stuff from us, I think. I think we showed a glimpse of what we're going to be in the future, which is really exciting, but unfortunately couldn't get the job done.
What was the theme of the review like? Was it a positive one? Was it a missed opportunity one? Or was it, you know, we'll use some of this and take it into next week?
Yeah, it was a bit of all of that. I think Nixie tried to keep it pretty positive. We obviously had about a 15-minute lapse where Darling managed to kick a few goals, which sort of hurt us in the end, and that was the margin in the end, so that hurt us. But I think we played pretty well against a really classy side. Yeah, it was good to see.
Hey, Riley, you're four games into your career. In terms of your role, have you had a similar role each week, or is it changing?
No, it's been pretty similar. I think just competing and, you know, bringing what I bring, not trying to do too much, sort of thing's been the main theme throughout it. You know, obviously you had to play on the wing a bit, which has been a bit exciting, and played in the ruck against Mummy, which was a bit
scary.
Pretty interesting as well.
Scary.
Throwing everywhere.
He likes to club young kids. You're lucky to get out of it, play the next week.
He was actually one of the nicest blokes I've ever met. So
really?
Big surprise. Yeah, he was awesome.
What, did he have a chat to you after the game, did he?
Yeah, he was awesome. Just had a little chat with him. Pretty much just said good luck and keep doing what you're doing, sort of thing. That was good.
I've always found him pretty good like that.
Yeah, you know, he's good. Yeah, after he clubs you.
That's yeah, I was going to say, he's always
generally not a bad guy.
Especially after they win as well. He's always happy to have a chat, isn't he?
He has a chat to you normally after because he's clubbed you and asked you to help him out at the tribunal. Hey, Jake Lever and Stephen May are having a huge influence on the D's this year, and they're 9-0. You'll probably get one of them. Do you have a look at someone possibly locking down on them? Because their intercept abilities, they start all their scoring chains across halfback, and they rely on those guys taking intercept marks. Do you send someone to them to lock them down?
Yeah, well, they've obviously had a great start to the year, and they're great players. I'm not too sure yet. I think we'll have that talk tomorrow, and they'll tell us what they want us to do.
Hey, Tex Walker missed last week. Be nice to have him back again. And what happened last week? Just couldn't be bothered getting on the plane at Perth? Yeah. Or what happened?
Had to feed the dogs.
I'm not too sure, to be honest. I think he's just pulled up a bit sore, but he'll be ready this week and backfiring, I think. Hopefully another bag for him.
Ned McHenry back as well?
Yeah, he's up for selection as long as he passed the concussion test, I think. So it'll be good to have those two back.
No, very good, mate. Now, I'll take it, are you around the day off at the moment? What are you getting up to?
Golf. Or what? What is Jars ask? Pottery?
What's the day off look like at the
Badminton?
Moment, mate?
I've had to take a break from golf. It's killing my mental stability. So
what do you
I'm
mean?
A little bit of a break.
What do you got, the shanks?
He needs a couple of tips from you.
Yeah, it's not going well for me at the moment, so I've had a little break.
You haven't snapped any.
I'm just relaxing today.
You haven't snapped any clubs or thrown you. I threw a putter in the water once.
No, I haven't done anything like that. No. Unfortunately,
Bluey's number one tip: just keep the foot wedge nice and close.
Oh.
Mate.
Oh. Just start cheating. That'll always help.
That is a low blow. Riley, you've got to be better than Jar. So Jar's last three rounds have been 122, 122, and 109. Tell me you got him covered.
No, a little bit better than that, thankfully.
Yeah. Well, what, 121, 121,
108? Hey, Riley, thanks for your time, mate, on the Rush Hour. Really appreciate it. We're loving what we're seeing at the moment, and good luck against the undefeated D's. I reckon you're half a chance this
weekend.
Take
them on, mate.
Yeah, beautiful. Thanks, boys. Thanks for the chat.
Good young man, Riley Thilthorpe.
From the playing field to the locker room, Triple M's Rush Hour is the trusted source for everything footy.
Another goal to Port Adelaide.
Get your expert tips here to be the ducks of your tipping comp with Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
And the Crows win here at the Adelaide Oval.
Love footy? You'll love Seeker's Footy Tipping with weekly prizes up for grabs so you can join anytime. Sign up now at seekerfootytipping.com.au. Seeker, your go-to product on the worksite.
Bernie Vince leads by four tips over Bluey. And after round eight, Andrew Jarman not even in the equation. Round eight, Bern, you got seven.
Yep.
Bluey got five. Yeah, and Jars got six. Not the greatest week for you there, Bluey.
That'd be Jars' best week ever. Six.
Yes. That's right.
It's a real concern.
Mm.
Now, with Jars away, Brad Ebert, you're going to have to tip for him.
All right.
And feel free to...
slaughter it.
Well, I was going to say.
I was thinking I might need to bring him back up, you know, get him back into the equation.
All right,
Here we go. Now, having a look at this week's fixture, Friday at the Gabba, Brisbane Lions v Richmond.
Brisbane for me.
Brisbane.
At the MCG, Saturday, Carlton v Hawthorn.
Carlton.
Yep.
I think we could all be the same here. There's one of these ones.
Geelong v Gold Coast at GMHBA Stadium.
Geelong.
Cats.
Yeah, you're picking the Suns, you got big plums.
Adelaide Crows take on Melbourne at home, Adelaide Oval.
Someone's going to throw it out there. Go on.
Nah, this will be closer than what you think, but Melbourne will get the job done. But I think it'll only be about 15, 20 points.
I thought you were about to say 15, 20 goals.
It could be that also.
Melbourne for me.
Yeah, all the way. At Marvel Stadium, Western Bulldogs v Saints.
Bulldogs on fire. Probably Dogs. The best. I think they're the best team in the comp. Better
Doggies.
Than Melbourne.
What about Lions? No, Lions are playing well at the moment.
They are. But
they've only just started lifting. I reckon Doggies are showing consistency.
Yeah, Fremantle take on Sydney at Optus Stadium at home.
Swans.
I'm going to go Freo at home. Even though they've been disappointing the last couple of weeks.
Freo for me.
GWS Giants v West Coast at Giant Stadium.
This is a tough one.
Because West Coast have been bad on the road, haven't they?
They should win because they're a better team, but I'm going to go the Giants. No, I'm going West Coast because Green's out. Sorry, I just remembered.
Oh, that is a massive out.
Forgot Toby Green's out.
Eggs.
You know what? West Toby Coast. Green's is probably the reason that the odds have flipped.
Giants for me.
Who's doing it?
We've been the same
so far.
No, we
haven't. You've been listening?
Me and you have been the same.
Oh, okay.
Don't think there'll be much talk of the prison bars on Sunday when Collingwood take on Port Adelaide at the G.
They should wear their prison bars. In the warm-up. Just in the warm-up.
Wouldn't that be a good one? Just to really spark it.
Port Adelaide will bounce right back. And I reckon this could be ugly. 10
Ooh, fire goals.
Really?
Yeah.
Port for me.
Yep, Port.
And finally, Sunday, May 23, Essendon take on North Melbourne at Marvel.
Essendon.
Doms.
Essendon.
Go on, Bluey.
Essendon.
I've picked North twice.
Have you?
But they can't do
last
it.
Last week?
No. When they won, I didn't.
Love footy. You'll love Seeker's footy tipping with weekly prizes up for grabs. You can join in anytime. Sign up now at seekerfootytipping.com. Seeker, your go-to product on the work site. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Bernie Fitz's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact.
It's annoying.
That's not annoying.
I thought you were bagging it off air.
Well, yeah, actually. I agree. No, I love this.
You do.
We love it. I reckon it's, by my reckoning, Burn, too, I reckon it's the 139th day of the year.
Is 138th.
Right? Is it?
Yeah, well, you told me not to read that shit out. And now you're going and reading that shit out.
I thought you said it was 137th on Monday.
Yeah, it was. Today's Wednesday.
Yeah. 138, 139.
Yeah.
I just made it up anyway.
Usually Bluey counts under, especially look at his scorecard.
Oh, you actually thought I was...
emotional strength.
You're not a good counter, I've heard. Oh, Mr. Toe Wedge. Now, you're playing today. I've heard some rumours.
No way.
Yes.
No way.
Have you ever played golf with Bluey?
Oh, I won't do it because I hear that he has a foot wedge that just goes.
That's a low blow.
Is it?
That's a very low blow.
Well, you know what is a low blow as well? Cutting into my facts. Where was I? May 19th. The 139th day of the year. You wanted to know. There it is. You told me I was banned from doing that apart from Mondays.
No.
So you can all go and get stuff. Hey, you'd remember this very fondly. Back in 1649.
Oh, yeah.
That was just the other day. How old were you then?
Mm-hmm.
Minus about 400. England. KG was around.
KG had his 50th that year.
We love you, Cage.
No, I think it was his 21st. But anyway, England was declared a republic by the parliament following the execution of King Charles I. There you go.
Good night.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah. Mm.
In 1962, on this day, Marilyn Munro performed the famous rendition of Happy Birthday, Mr. President.
There you go.
To who?
Was it Nixie?
JFK.
Oh, right.
JFK,
nice.
What, Nixie, coach in Adelaide? She didn't know him yet, peanut.
Hey, Marilyn.
She's not even from Adelaide.
Hey, Marilyn. Marilyn, do you know Nutbush City Limits? What about the Nutbush?
Birthday, Maddie Nukes.
Piss off, Sloaney. She's singing it to me.
What an idiot, Bluey. And you were,
what?
Yes. The 139th day. Hey, today is National, have a listen to this, May Ray Day.
Who?
May Ray Day. National May Ray Day. Do you know what that means?
No idea.
It's to celebrate the rays of sunshine in our lives.
There you go.
That's a little bit of a touching.
Take that one.
And also National Emergency Medical Services for Children's Day.
Yeah,
I love that.
Love that.
Special thank you to Brad Ebert filling in for Andrew Jarman, just in case Jars does make it back tomorrow, which is quite unlikely. We went through the Triple M archives and we found this.
I thought he was gone at the start of the edits. I thought the young players have overtaken him, but he's playing.
He's played really well.
Ball forced to the front, Butters, sock it off the deck. This will be an Ebert goal. It is.
Got a goal from Ebert. Kick is on the way and it's another goal. This has been sparkling football.
Ebert on his way in. The kick looks okay, but it's drifting. No, he's got it. Port Adelaide hit the front.
Unbelievably, well, yeah. Actually, yeah. I reckon career best.
Okay, there, long ball in. Ebert takes the mark. He kicks a goal, Ebert. Port Adelaide just shuffling around. Now it's got a goal. And they hit back. Brad Ebert gets his first goal of the afternoon.
Hard and relentless.
Yeah.
He's playing like his life depends on
it. No, he's got a couple already tonight, Ebert. Comes in, makes no mistake. He's got three for the night.
Greg Blewett is gone for a duck. Australia are in trouble.
Speaking of gone for a duck, you ever cut in front of my facts again and Emma G will be back tomorrow.
I thought you were like 16. I thought you were done.
Well, you thought he's wrong, you peanut.
He's just round you up.
I wouldn't like even... Get out. Keep walking. Right, you're over near mate, the door.
It's like
how do we shut this down? No, hang on.
It's an Oscar speech right there.
Right, I'll see everyone just tomorrow.
No,
thanks, guys.
I'm going to teach you something here that you would, both
thanks,
of you
guys.
Wouldn't
it's
know.
It's been a pleasure to be here.
Shut him down. There's two planets in the solar system without moons. Guess them.
Oh. Mars.
Negative.
Jupiter.
No.
Jeez, you're Uranus.
That can moon your dick. No, it's...
Pluto.
No.
We've named every... Go on.
Mercury and Venus, the first two. Come on. Right. Hey, you know, opposites attract the saying. Opposites attract.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not true. Because it's a... Well, that's a common myth because people are actually attracted to people, this is concerning, who look like family members or those with a similar personality type.
Ooh.
So, you know, we are attracted
that's a bit raw
to people
family-ish,
that look like our
it?
Mothers or have personalities like our mothers. Is that with you, Blue?
Nah.
What's this music? Oh, this is because of our solar system stuff.
Time to go.
This is bullshit.